No sooner had conferees wrapped up last week's Mackinac Policy Conference than another gathering formed. A meeting might break out at any moment. For the first time in about 6 years, the Council of Great Lakes Governors met to discuss the economy and the environment. According to the group's website, the conference included a particular focus on trade, transportation, and water, and noted troll Rick Pluta of the Michigan Public Radio Network attended the governor's conference.
That's right. I never crossed the bridge, and I will point out that at the chamber conference, I did successfully avoid the vodka luge.
Okay. That's curious. Well, it raises the question, do people on Mackinac Island refer to people who live in the lower peninsula as trolls, or is it just a UP thing?
I don't know. I'm married to a Youper, and real Youpers do not consider Mackinac Island really a part of the UP. I shouldn't say real Youpers, but people who live on mainland UP.
Yeah,
sort of see it as a place for hangers-on to go and sort of dip their toe.
Exactly. Who attends the Council of Great Lakes Governors event?
Well, this particular event, there hadn't been one like this in half a dozen years, but it was about half the governors, four of the eight Great Lakes states, plus the premier of Quebec. The Canadian provinces are invited, and they're sort of ex officio members, and then they show up and they're granted voting privileges. But also a lot of NGOs, the Canadian and U.S. ambassador, the Canadian ambassador to the U.S. and the U.S. ambassador to Canada were there. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood, who was an Illinois congressman, also showed up. Environmental groups, business groups, tourism promotion groups,
What finally triggered the group to meet again, and what caused the 5 or 6 years where they didn't meet?
There were a few things. It's kind of speculative, but one of them was that perhaps the political makeup of the governors and the premiers, that for a while in Ontario there was a socialist in government there, and so there's a sense that maybe. This just wasn't a group that was going to coalesce, and just people's attentions were elsewhere. And Rick Snyder kind of has this vision of Michigan being the center of a regional economy.
Mm-hmm.
It goes from the Midwest up to Montreal in Canada. So, and he's the co-chair of the council this year. So it sort of makes sense that he would look at that and then go, this is a group that's got to get together and talk. Usually they talk about controversies, and the controversies are typically centered on environmental questions like invasive species and water diversion, where and how you might allow it. And this really, especially at the outset, it started out with a behind closed doors talk from Bill Ford, the chair of the Ford Motor Company, who's also tried to incorporate environmentalism into his business operation. And there was this idea that green technology and the fact that we've got the world's largest supply of the largest supply of surface fresh water in the world,
mm-hmm.
that's an opportunity. And so there are a lot of emerging industries that are coming out involving water filtration, how to move water from one place to another. I mean, real industrial stuff that might offer some opportunities, that when we talk about environmentally efficient and friendly ways of transportation, that if you build a facility on the Great Lakes that feeds off of other facilities on the Great Lakes for your supply chain, that you can reduce costs, be more efficient and more environmentally
sure.
friendly that way. So there was a lot of discussion about those sorts of things, that water technology is going to be huge in the 21st century, and this is a natural spot for that. And Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker made kind of an interesting point, that there's been a lot of coverage in recent weeks of natural disasters in other parts of the country,
mm-hmm.
the tornadoes in Oklahoma, for example.
Yeah.
And he said, all told, that this is, climate-wise, this is a pretty stable area. We don't have tornadoes. We don't have earthquakes. We don't have cataclysmic natural disasters here. the Detroit Lions are sort of their own separate category. And, you know, but we don't have cataclysmic natural disasters here like we see in other parts of the country. So
yeah.
If you're involved in, you know, technology that requires a stable environment, like, you know, information storage, that, you know, the upper Midwest may be...
There's
the
worse places to be.
Yeah, you know, yeah, maybe yeah. the place for you. And so, you know, a lot of the discussion, you know, focused around that. And I think that's where they kind of wanted to keep it. And then the discussion turned to invasive species, and that's been a topic that's really pitted, you know, Michigan encircled by water against Illinois and Indiana over the network of shipping canals that essentially wind up creating a direct route from the Mississippi River system, which is infested by Asian carp, which has just upturned the ecology of that watershed to the Great Lakes mm-hmm. via a single shipping canal in Chicago. And there's this big fear that the Asian carp is going to somehow make its way through that, you know, into Lake Michigan. Michigan has actually gone to court to try and force Illinois to shut down that canal and has always been resisted. And then Illinois Governor Pat Quinn sort of made everyone go, huh? When he said, you know, ultimately, I think we are going to have to shut down that shipping canal and replace it with something else. And I think it can be a great big public works project that could create an awful lot of jobs. And that, you know,
what was the response?
Well, you know, the environmentalists in the room, you know, you could hear the applause, and you could see Pat Quinn is a Democrat. I don't know if that's relevant to the discussion, but I'm going to point it out. And you could see a couple of Republicans, Scott Walker and especially Mike Pence of Indiana, sort of, you know, scratch the back of their heads. And Mike Pence afterwards came over to the reporters and made sure that we knew that in no way, shape, or form is Indiana, which moves about $1.9 billion worth of stuff through that network, would they be in favor of that? That he just sees it as too disruptive, and what we really need to do is manage the progress of the carp, not
erect barriers to transportation.
Not completely dismantle and recreate the infrastructure that's there.
So does this idea have a lot more legs since Governor Quinn's statement?
Well, you know, I mean, governors, this would be a very, very, very long-term project. And, you know, governors typically serve 4 to 8 years. And so we'll see how influential that is. But, you know, the people who favor this, this approach of actually, you know, creating a physical seal between the Mississippi River system and Lake Michigan and the rest of the Great Lakes, were pretty heartened by it, because it's like now
they've got an important new ally.
Right, the governor of the state that's been resisting this has said, you know what, conceptually, we're on board.
I understand you will be reporting shortly on some news involving the wolf hunt in Michigan. Tell us about that.
Last week, the leaders of the five big Michigan Indian tribes in Michigan had a meeting, and they decided that they will take some legal action to try and block the hunt from taking place in November. They will argue. My guess would be that there is a process set up in the most recent treaty that deals with these sorts of things that would allow them first to go to mediation, then binding arbitration, and then, you know, take it to federal court if necessary. But they're going to say that the wolf hunt was not enacted by the state of Michigan in a scientific fashion as it's defined by this particular treaty. Hmm. And also it just doesn't respect their treaty rights, that the wolf in American Indian culture is a sacred creature, that the chair of the Sioux tribe of Chippewas, Aaron Payment, who I believe you're going to be talking with tomorrow.
That's right.
You know, says that their culture says that the fate of the wolf is entwined with the fate of the indigenous peoples. And so, you know, they respect that. The Department of Natural Resources' response to that is that the Indian tribes were consulted, and certainly they have every right to manage the wolf population as they see fit on tribal land. But the state of Michigan, you know, gets to manage the wolves as the state deems fit on state land.
We shall see, and we indeed will have Aaron Payman on Current State tomorrow. Lastly, before we let you leave Mackinac Island behind you for a while, what were some of your bigger takeaways from the Detroit Regional Chamber Conference last week?
The biggest one was how this conference was really almost wholly focused on education. A lot of that was because there are current debates in the legislature about what to do about the Common Core standards for measuring student achievement, what to do about, vocational education, versus, channeling people into four-year degrees and things like that. And so that was really the big topic was, the future of education and also the future of education in urban areas where they're struggling. And of course, that bleeds out all across the state because we have at least 50 school districts that are on the state's list of places that are financially challenged.
Do meaningful conversations between state legislators with the potential impact on the state budget and big issues, do they take place at the Mackinac Policy Conference?
I don't know if they take place between legislators, but it is a place where, the big money people who handle, millions of dollars in philanthropy and also, quite bluntly, campaign contributions, can sit down with them and say, this is what, we'd like to see happen. And a lot of this is actually one of the things I noticed is that a lot of this event was built around Governor Snyder, some people from some big foundations trying to convince the business community to get on board with, the Education Achievement Authority in the Detroit Public Schools, for example, and become engaged with that. And then once that happens, hoping that that will also influence policymaking in Lansing.
And was that part of the reason Michelle Rhee and Jeb Bush also were keynote speakers at
yes.
this event?
Absolutely. I mean, that was not that was not an accident. It was supposed to be a focus. It wound up being almost the focus, again, just because of those controversies. And you had both Michelle Rhee and Jeb Bush sort of, lob some darts at the legislature for dragging their feet on Common Core, because the legislature is saying, we shouldn't be involving ourselves in this sort of federalized system of education standards. And the response is like, well, wait a second, it may be national in the sense that 46 states have adopted it, and everyone is trying to use the same metrics, but this wasn't developed in D.C. This was developed by the governors. This was developed by, school officials from all across the country in lieu of creating a national federal standard.
Right. Rick Pluta is our Capitol correspondent for the Michigan Public Radio Network. You hear him regularly here on WKAR. Thanks a lot, Rick.
Oh, my pleasure.